This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles and he falls down at the 10.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Giants, what the hell was that?
Tried to run faster than I was running and got caught up.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, man. Had a chance.
We could go higher register. They had more than a chance.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, legendary NHL broadcaster Doc Emrick. Coming up from Spectrum Originals, Temple, actor Mark Strong. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three here on this Friday show. We're going to go straight down the middle and finish up strong, go to the weekend. College football, Big Ten returns, and Bruce Feldman will return to the show to help us get you ready for that in a way that Pat Forty also helped yesterday. In this hour, Chris Brockman's going to give you three games that he thinks can make you hard-earned American dollars.
Let's go.
I'm going to tell you that an upset of the week. Also, as always, you have to stay tuned for our higher register segment, where we come up with a handful of takes that we have to kind of go up here to believe. You know, got to go higher register in order to actually tell you that we believe it.
It's going to happen.
No, when we say these things, by the way, it's not that we don't believe it. We just will need a little extra oomph to push it past the reality goal line. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
That's all I'm saying. Also in this hour, we thank all of our listeners and viewers that have provided us the first suggestions to Mike Del Tufo what he should name his boat.
Oh, I love it. I mean, there's some funny ones in there. I've seen a couple. I've gone and looked. I've tried to stay away.
Okay, try to stay away. Yeah. So we get the natural reaction. Chris exactly. Brockman's news update is about to hit us right here, as he's got a handful of pieces of news about injuries and whatnot.
Yep.
The first injury, if you will, of the show is one that I'm able to handle. I'm able to take it. I got thick skin here. I always share. I always be honest. I share. I overshare. I give myself to this show and the audience every day between 12 to 3 Eastern. Every day. So I shared that my take on Daniel Jones tripping and falling down on Thursday Night Football with green grass in front of him. I do not poke fun. I do not make fun. I did not jump on that low-hanging fruit like the rest of the sports world. There's Daniel Jones falling over with green grass in front of him.
So much green grass.
I said that it's my personal nightmare. Running the 40 every year with nothing in front of me. It's not easy trying to run as fast as you can, thinking that you've got a great goal in front of you that you're about to score. My concern is always that I'm going to fall over, and that's the video that the entire country is going to see. I have sweats. I dream of that nightmare. So when Daniel Jones did that, I shared. I said that this is my concern. How am I repaid? How am I rewarded? How do I receive commiseration from the people that mean so much to me professionally and personally? This.
Oh, that is fair. That's amazing. That's fair.
This. My head gets put, my running face head gets put on top of Daniel Jones.
You're extra red.
The running face.
Redness of that face.
You can see I am focused. I am running.
Locked in.
Are you looking at like an ant on like the 15?
I don't know what I'm doing. I'll be honest with you. You know what I am? I'm focused.
No, that's got to be like head down in the stance on the start blocks of the 40, I think.
Looking up or first 5 feet.
Looking up, first 5 yards.
Popping up too soon.
Yep. As you are wont to do.
I don't think it's fair. How do you got that done? Let's do it. Let's, look, I'm not the only one.
Uh-oh.
I'm not the only one. Go for it, Don. Here we go.
Oh, no.
These are AT&T employees who run the 40-yard dash every year. Here, look at them go. That's it. It happens. All right? It happens. He's rolling.
He was cooking.
I mean,
we don't have the dude from like 3 years ago
who split his jacket.
Splitting his jacket. That was just unbelievable.
He was killing it, too, out there.
You didn't think this last night, or it's just because you don't run? I mean, you're not.
I wasn't thinking it, but when you said I got something for it, that's where my mind went.
First thing I thought of, I know the feeling, Daniel Jones. Oh, stop it. It's not right. It's just
the face, the head.
It's well done.
Perfect.
Hey, at least I'll take solace in the fact that I know I've got the top production team behind me here at the Rich Eisen Show. That is an excellent rendering of what I don't appreciate.
Instantaneous, too. He was on top of it.
Yeah, well done. That's a Hoskins?
Mike Hoskins.
Yeah. Well done. Thanks, Hoskins. Really appreciate that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Our poll question is, who's the best team in the NFC? It's the top of our number three. What do you have over there, Chris Brock?
Yeah, best team in the NFC. So here's who we went with. Bears, 5-1. Bucks, 4-2. Packers, 4-1. And Seahawks, 5-0. Everyone thinks Seattle, totally fine, 61%. Need to see more of their defense for me. But Green Bay, 16%. Bears, 12%. 11% Bucks. I actually kind of think the Bucks are trending, and by the end of the season, they're going to be the best team in the NFL.
Okay. Do you want to take some phone calls before your news? Are you ready? And then will we have time for phone? I don't know how deep your news is. I want to just use this real estate. What do you want to do?
Got some injuries and then a couple NBA items. So let's do a couple phone calls first.
Okay,
and then we'll
let's do that. Let's go to Sean in Utah. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, Rich?
What's
first
going
time,
on?
Long time.
Where have you been?
Bing.
Good to have you here. What's going on?
I don't usually call in. I'm a diehard Husker fan.
Okay.
And since we were already on the topic of, you know, the upset alert for your Michigan. What of these three out of the four games that Nebraska starts with, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State,
yes,
could, if any, actually be a legitimate upset alert?
I'll ask that of Bruce Feldman. My God, am I hoping that week one is the upset alert? That would be great. Cade Warner, walk-on, captain of the team, catches a couple touchdowns against the Ohio State University. I got to tell you, right now, as it currently stands, and I don't normally do this, the list of my favorite Warners, Brenda 1, Kurt 2, Cade is number three with a bullet. I'll tell you that right now. He would vault straight to the top, straight to the very top of my favorite Warner's list. I just don't know if that will happen, but I do know that these three games will make Nebraska fans either thrilled that the parents forced the hand of the Big Ten to have the league return to play, or rue the day. That's a heck of a gauntlet to start.
It really is. And an honest assessment from myself is probably 1-3. But I'm kind of hoping for the 2-2. I'm hoping for the upset in there somewhere.
Well, 1-0. I'm hoping for 1-0. Rooting for 1-0, very hard. Rooting for 1-0. Very, very much so.
I know that would make your week.
Delight.
To start
off
the
season. My God. It would be delightful. It would be like, and thank you for the goal, like be serving the filet mignon and the dessert as the appetizer. You know, it would be like the chef sending something to the table you didn't expect, because they respect your patronage.
Always a delight.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Am I going to get that served at the table tomorrow? Probably not.
No.
Oh, would that be amazing?
Probably not.
All right, this is going to be fun because I see what Chris in Chicago wants to talk about. What's up, Chris?
It's my dog. How we doing?
What's going on, Chris? What's on your mind, Chris?
Yeah, I got to start just saying I love you, first of all, but I did call in to give you kind of a hard time.
Please, Chris, you have the floor. Go for it.
I just don't think that we can be making excuses about football schedules, man. You got Michigan's program. You guys got to be the best. You can't be complaining about your in-conference schedule. I just got to go by the wayside.
No, Chris, again, and I know that, you know, what you hear is bitching and moaning and complaining sounds like bitching, moaning, and complaining. I totally get that.
I get it.
No, my point is the number of times that I've heard Michigan isn't all that. You Michigan people think you're more than that, but you're not all that. And when you're not all that, boy, do we love pointing out that you're not all that.
We do love that.
And yet, my team still has to go through the toughest gauntlet, and my team still gets the toughest gauntlet because they're Michigan, and yet every single time I'm saying we are Michigan, you're like, no, you're not all that. So how do I handle that? How do I handle that? That's my complaint here. Not the schedule. Yeah. Not the schedule. It's the schedule that proves I'm right. That's what I'm saying. Does that make sense,
that.
Chris?
Yeah, no, I like that. I can respect that.
Thank you. There we go. Now we can go back to our corners. Thanks for the call, Chris. See, it's more nuanced. It's more nuanced.
Always is.
Ready for your news update over there, Chris? Let's hit it right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Go for it. The Rich Eisen Show news update brought to you by Chris Brockman and our friend, the emeritus of NBC News, as always.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
And by the way, Bruce Feldman's going to be joining us shortly to tell me if I'm totally insane about this whole Big Ten schedule thing.
Peso Robles.
Thank you very much. What do you have over there?
Wow. Just some injury stuff here, guys. Adam Gase said he expects Sam Darnold to start this week against the Bills. So congratulations, Rich. You got to root for Sam on Sunday.
Of course I root for Sam. Of course I root for Sam. I root for Sam Darnold all the time. That's why I am rooting for him to have a great game and then be shipped out by the trade deadline to some place where he can actually be repaired.
We got, what, 10 days until that? 9 days?
Honestly, who do we have on yesterday? Oh, it was Trent Dilfer talking about how Ryan Tannehill is the perfect, perfect model for Sam Darnold to follow. That doesn't matter if you've been broken by the team that drafted you. You could still go to another spot. There's still time for you to find a new spot where they fix you up and fix you up with a better spread. And you can then be a terrific quarterback in this league. And who's the through line? Who's the Tannehill-Sam Darnold through line? Adam Gase. Who also said, Kenyon Drake, what do you need him here for? Get him out. Get him to a spot where he runs for 70 yards untouched on Monday Night Football against the crappy Dallas Cowboys. Let's get him out there. Jarvis Landry, what do we need him for? So I do root for him. I do root for him.
I hope he plays well.
I hope he loses, too, because it's better for the Jets to have the first overall selection, even if they do eventually decide it's still Sam Darnold's team. King's ransom they would get for that. Better than a second or a third overall pick. Come on, Jets. Focus. And best of luck. I hope Sam emerges unscathed because that Bills defense is pissed. They have no doubt been lit up by Sean McDermott. And they will be coming loaded to MetLife.
Joe Mixon for the Bengals ruled out against the Browns.
Oh, is that right?
So it's Gio Bernard season there for Cincinnati. In dealing with the Raiders, so no new tests on the offensive line. However, safety Jonathan Abram is not expected to play. He is not going to be cleared in time on that reserve COVID-19 list against the Bucs. So no Jonathan Abram for Oakland. Bad news for the back end of that defense. Last second injury popped up for Cleveland. Austin Hooper, tight end, he's been coming on of late, underwent surgery for appendicitis today. He's out. So it's David Njoku and Harrison Bryant season for the Browns tight end. Panthers activated kicker Joey Sly from the reserve COVID-19 list. And this one popped up today for the Packers. Huge game against the Texans. Aaron Jones did not practice, will be on the injury report heading into week 7.
How about
not
that?
A good sign that he's going to play this week.
Wow. Aaron Jones has popped up, huh? That sounded not, like a fantasy exhale over there.
It was not seen in practice. Don't know what the injury is specifically, but did not participate.
So who's the guy that gets the ball there?
Jamal Williams.
Let me search for his name right now.
So if you need a running back fill-in in fantasy, look for Jamal Williams or Gio Bernard right now. Some good news here. Washington head coach Ron Rivera did say his last day of cancer treatment is this coming Monday.
Oh, how great is that? Awesome.
There will be follow-ups, of course, but doctors have told him it's headed in the right direction. So great news for Ron Rivera.
Okay.
A couple NBA notes. Board of Governors, according to Woj, Board of Governors meeting today to discuss possible changes to the plans for the beginning of the 2021 season, including starting it as quickly as possible, playing potentially fewer than 82 games, and not waiting for fans to be permitted at all league arenas. Adam Silver had said they did not want to start the 2020-21 season unless there were fans allowed in all the arenas, but they are discussing all possibilities.
Yeah, I mean,
there at the NBA, including starting the season on Christmas Day this year. And also, the NBA draft is going to be November 18th.
Well, that's good news. I'm glad to hear that.
It's going to be all virtual at ESPN Studios in Bristol. Adam Silver is going to be there handling.
Oh, is that right? Round. Excellent.
Yes.
So the NBA is like, hey, if we're, you know, we'd love to have people in the arenas, but
it might be a situation that the NFL is doing with just a small percentage.
No, I understand that, but there's no. If you notice, the Saints want fans.
Right.
But for the Saints to have fans, they're going to have to play at LSU. They cannot bring them inside. There's no dome stadiums that are right, allowing fans in.
Right.
You know, the reason why Jerry's, you know, they're opening the windows.
They open the end.
In Dallas. Yep. You know? So that's part of, I just don't, does anybody see, and I, as you know, I'm I adore Adam Silver in the NBA. So I say this with the utmost of love. Would anybody want to go inside of an NBA arena right now and go to a game? Would you go?
I don't think so.
In a box, I would. I would.
You really would? You'd go inside.
If there wasn't a full box and you were and Brockman away?
Yeah, but then there's still heartbeat. But then there's like 3,000 people and 2,000 people in an arena.
No, if you're sitting in regular seats inside.
Well, it doesn't matter. You're still in the same. It's sort of like you're in a plane. You know what I mean? If somebody's smoking, and that's when there was a non-smoking section of a plane, there's still smoke in the cabin. You know what I mean?
Like
somebody sitting in row 12 plane, you're still in the same tube.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think I would go to an NBA game right now.
So they have to rethink it. And what they did this summer,
incredible,
is truly the stuff of all-time greatness. The NHL pulled it off, too, in two different spots.
Months. Zero tests.
Zero.
Zero.
Yep. And again,
zero
the positive. Whole idea, if you're sitting there saying, well, more tests equal more cases. NHL, NBA, look at these sports leagues. Testing like crazy.
Masks, bubble,
MLB playoffs. Zero positive.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
And of course, game three tonight, guys. Walker Buehler versus Charlie Morton.
Buehler. Oh, Charlie Morton, man.
3-0 in the postseason.
How great has he been the last few years?
He's been awesome. Had him in fantasy.
Guy who won game 7 against the Dodgers. Now back in the spot to go 3-7. Games 3 and maybe 7. Best of 5 starting tonight. Love this matchup.
Here we go.
Great matchup. Great matchup. I'll be tuned in before and after we watch the Great British Bake Show tonight.
Oh.
New episode on Netflix.
I've not seen it yet.
Locked in at
the. Just started watching.
They're in a bubble too, by the way.
Oh, are they?
British Bake Show bubble. Oh, yeah. They're bubbled up too.
That'd be a great place to.
Over there in
food.
The UK. Oh, my God.
I mean, think about it.
Oh, my God.
Great food.
Now, is it just desserts or is it everything?
Oh, it's desserts.
It's just desserts.
It's a baking show. It's about your baking. You're not.
Rich.
Not cooking. Not it's not cook. It's not the Great British Cooking Show.
Not a baker. But I feel
I'm sure they can cook too, though. We're good.
But, you know, it's tasty delights. Tasty delights.
Say no more.
You would want to have a pint with Paul Hollywood. I know that. You and Paul Hollywood. Paul Hollywood is sort of the Simon Cowell of this show.
Oh, my kind of guy.
Oh, you would love him. You got to watch the show. It's amazing. It's just great. It's great. And The Voice is back, too, so we're watching that.
Oh, my mom is so pumped about that.
The Voice is such an amazing show. I cannot believe it took me as many seasons as it did to start watching it. And Blake Shelton's got to be out of his mind at how good the Cardinals are. Out of his skull. Right. And if I had John Legend on, I would bitch at him about the Ohio State schedule, too. He knows.
He's not on the committee that makes the schedule.
You know what, though? I throw all the Buckeyes in the same boat.
That's fair.
Certainly since they revel in my misery. Revel.
Well, what is it? 14 out of 15?
I don't even want to talk about it. I don't follow that sport anymore.
Got it.
Well, I guess I got to pick it back up again.
I don't follow.
Because Joe Milton, baby. I'm excited about it. You got to be excited to see somebody 6'6", 240.
Dude.
Right?
A monster.
I know. Here we go. Fantastic. Let's take a break. Bruce Feldman joining us from The Athletic and Fox Sports, talking about some college football, and then your phone calls still to come as well. Mike Del Tufo boat suggestions, hire register, and more. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Every single day on the NBC Sports on Peacock channel, after Dan Patrick, taking you to Brother from Another, wrapped in the Florio Flauta that starts at 7 a.m. Eastern with Pro Football Talk Live and ends at 5 p.m. Eastern with PFT PM. I know Florio's been writing a lot about what's going on with the Raiders and their COVID protocols and what to do with the game between the Bucs and the Raiders. I haven't heard what they're talking about in PFT PM, but just seeing the commentary that he's been posting, I bet you he'll be all over that. Certainly by later on today, you got to figure out, are you going to have a game Sunday or not? You're going to push it to Monday or Tuesday? The Bucs are on Monday Night Football to wrap up Week 8. So if you go Monday, you could go Monday to Monday. And Tuesday would go Tuesday to Monday. It wouldn't go Tuesday to Sunday. So there is some room for error unless you sit there and think, why are we going to penalize the Bucs by having to sit around and wait to play a game when it's the Raiders that might have made this worse than possible.
Right.
So that's stuff that I'm sure Florio will be talking about later. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, and joining us right now to talk about college football and the weekend that is about to arrive with Big Ten football as well, is our friend from The Athletic as well as Fox Sports, and his new book, Flip the Script, Lessons I Learned on the Road to a Championship. That is a book that he has written with Coach O. The forward by Dwayne Johnson. Put that all together, and you got yourself a triumvirate. Bruce Feldman back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Bruce?
I'm doing well, Rich. Good to be on with you.
Good to be on with you. Big Ten season is upon us, sir. Best team in the Big Ten is, in fact, the Ohio State. Yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, all signs are pointing to that. Justin Fields has got himself in the best shape of his life. You know, yeah, they obviously have to replace Chase Young and J.K. Dobbins, among others, but I think they're the most complete team, and we'll see how they handle what has been obviously a very unusual and turbulent offseason.
And other games that you're looking forward to seeing this weekend would be, set the stage for me, if you don't mind.
You know, look, I mean, to me, it's a lot of eyes are going to be on the Big Ten. It's the debut weekend. You've already got some news. Rondale Moore, who's one of the most dynamic players in the country, really terrific receiver at Purdue. He had opted out, then he opted back in, and now, you know, we're told he will not play this weekend for them against Iowa. So start with that. I think you're going to have, you know, his coach, Jeff Brohm, is not able to coach in the game. Jeff Brohm had actually tested positive for COVID. From my sources there, say he's feeling better, but he's got to sit out this game. On the field, I'm very interested to see what your alma mater is going to look like. They have an interesting game tomorrow night with Minnesota, who's really good. They had a really good year last year. And what I want to see most, I want to see what Joe Milton looks like. He's the new quarterback. People inside the program that I trust think he has a world of potential. Huge kid, runs well, big arm, has really taken a lot of steps forward since he has got recruited out of Florida to come there. So they have some good young skill talent. It's probably the fastest group of skill guys that Michigan's had in a long time there. But again, it's, you know, how consistent can they be? They have to replace Nico Collins, who is a terrific player for them, and you know, I want to see, is this team ready to be a legit playoff contender, or just, you know, are they just a good team and nothing more than that?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the quarterback, I'll tell you that, because it's the first one that Jim Harbaugh is going to be starting a season with that he personally recruited out of high school, which is remarkable as to how long, obviously, Harbaugh's been on the sideline there at Michigan. I'm very excited to see Joe Milton. What can you tell me about him?
Yeah, I mean, everything I've heard has been people are really excited. He, you know, when McCaffrey ended up transferring out, I was told that the quarterback race wasn't even close, that Joe Milton won that battle going away. People are really excited about his talent. Now, you know, I know Josh Gattis, who's the second-year OC there, has been really, really intrigued by him from pretty much the moment he showed up. And the development he has had, he doesn't need to throw everything 100 miles per hour. I think he has kind of gotten more polish and more comfort in this system. You know, now, certainly would have helped to have Nico Collins as this security blanket to have that big frame making plays. But there is a lot of speed to work with. It's a deeper running back group that they've had there in a while. As you know, they had some question marks coming into last year in the run game. I think the biggest thing for them really is, especially to get momentum. So many times, this is not a knock on Shea Patterson, but they had a lot of turnovers. You know, turnovers, you know, costly fumbles and different things like that. And it just seemed like, save for that Notre Dame blowout where they crushed them, it felt like there was a lot of just instability, and it was a lot of two steps forward, two steps back with them. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, to me, you know, they've had some solid quarterbacks. Certainly, you know, Jake Rudock came from Iowa and was solid. But the biggest gap to me between them and the elite teams right now is they haven't had anybody really special at quarterback. Now, that's a big ask to put on Joe Milton to say, can Joe Milton be a top 10 caliber guy? But if he becomes a difference maker, not just with his arm, but certainly in his what he also brings as a threat in the run game, I think that changes things for them. Because they have, you look at what they have on the other side of the ball, you know, with Hutchinson and Kwity Paye, they have some, you know, special kind of athletes in the defensive front. They have some of that on the back end. I just think it's really, you know, it's the quarterback play has been pretty average since Jim Harbaugh's been there. And it definitely wasn't average when he left Palo Alto, certainly when he had Andrew Luck there. And I think if you're really going to be a team that makes a run at a playoff spot, you got to upgrade it there.
Bruce Feldman here from The Athletic and Fox Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, you know, you mentioning Jeff Brohm, the Purdue head coach at age 49, testing positive for coronavirus last weekend and not coaching this weekend. The Big Ten refused also to allow him to even coach remotely in any way, shape, or form. And we all know, again, that the Big Ten is starting now after saying they weren't going to start at all this calendar year, and other conferences did, including the SEC, with a coach a lot more well-known than Jeff Brohm, but also 15 years his senior, testing positive for coronavirus, but then testing negative three straight times, allowed to coach in Nick Saban, also to take his mask off and bark at officials like he wasn't COVID positive earlier in the week. Is this something different? Are the protocols different for these conferences, or Brohm still testing positive? I'm wondering if this is the first instance, even before the Big Ten's playing, of the way conferences are treating this virus.
Well, they're all different. Everybody has different protocols. Some conferences are only testing once a week. Now, the Big Ten, they're going to test daily, and it's basically six times a week, and they're doing antigen tests. Now, even what the SEC is different necessarily, Alabama was testing more than what the SEC was requiring. And in the case of Nick Saban, what we're told is that he had what appears to be a false positive.
Well, that's good.
And it was on a PCR test, which is considered the more thorough test.
Yep.
And then in order to get cleared, you have to have three successive negative PCR tests, which Alabama said he had. So he was able to get cleared. Now, talking to some folks in the Big Ten, especially late last week, and we mentioned this on our Big Noon Kickoff show, there is some concern about if you have a player gets a false positive, and in the Big Ten, we're talking about antigen, those rapid tests. So if you get a false positive the day, the morning of a game, what the Big Ten is doing is you would have, they're going to have a confirmatory PCR test to determine, okay, was that a false positive or not? But if it's happening on a, say, a Saturday morning, you probably would not get the results back in time to be cleared to test out. And, you know, I think that from my understanding is the Big Ten just feels like, hey, you know, better safe than sorry on this. Now, what's also significant is the Big Ten, if a player tests positive and has the confirmatory positive test, you're out 21 days. Now, wow. Coaches are out 10 days, but the 21-day period is much lengthier than the other leagues are having, as they're clinging to more of the CDC guidelines, whereas the Big Ten has gone a step further with that.
So we should get used to that, because, I mean, there's no question that's going to be happening, right? I mean, this virus has its own path, clearly. And it chooses whatever it chooses to do. So that's something that we need to get used to as sports fans prior to, you know, losing ourselves in this wonderful league and conference. And, you know, I don't mean to, you know, the SEC does what it does and the ACC does what it does and the Big 12 does what it does and the Big 10 obviously is doing what they're doing. It just calls into question again. It's like, how do you put it all together? I mean, how in the heck is this all going to be put together and come with four teams at the very end of the year that is healthy and safe and we all are ready to watch a playoff? You know, I know this is the largest question of all, that there's no governing body that overlooks everything, but I don't know how to feel. Basically, is what I'm saying. As we're getting set to hit
the
this.
Thing is, look, I know you cover all sports on the show, and look, there was times where in the World Series now, and there was times in the baseball season, you know, it was the Marlins and it was the Cardinals at one point, maybe there was another team or two that had really rocky moments, because unlike the NBA, unlike the NHL, unlike the WNBA, there was no bubble. So one thing that has come up a little bit, at least from my reporting with college football, is when teams go on the road, whether it's a cramped visitor's locker room or team meals, there have been some issues of maybe there was players with a false negative on those trips and it spread. And so, you know, we see Florida's been on, they've had a game postponed. Dan Mullen, the head coach, has tested positive for COVID. They are on a pause still as they're trying to get that under control. Baylor, as now they're expected to come back and play after having game postponed. They're going to play Texas this weekend, but they had a big outbreak amongst their team. Well, it was just the team. It wasn't just the players, it was coaches. And I think, you know, we're in uncharted waters with this, right? And I think, you know, whether you want to use the expression, is it threading the needle to try to get to the finish line and hopefully, you know, fingers crossed that, yes, there's going to probably be some positives, but positive tests and players and coaches who get it, but hopefully do not get very sick from it. I mean, Greg Byrne, who's Nick Saban's AD at Alabama, he tested positive, and he, in fact, had it. And Greg Byrne has talked about it was rough. You know, it was an extended, you know, 10 days of he didn't need hospitalization or anything, but it was probably as lengthy of a sick period for him. And as obviously we've seen, different people handle it differently as it affects them. So hopefully with the numbers as big as they are in college football, because we're talking about compared to baseball, even the NFL, the rosters are smaller. There's not 130 NFL teams. You do 130 college teams with 100 people on a roster, big staffs. And also in some of these leagues, they're not testing the way the NFL is. Maybe the Big Ten is testing that level. Maybe the Pac-12 is going to test that level, but the Sun Belt is not. So you just got to hope that, look, we're dealing with not the coaches, but the players are younger. And the percentages are that the serious risk seems to be very low. So hopefully it stays that way. And you know, the season can find its way to you know, this is a playoff, but anybody who's telling you for sure how this is going to work, I think they're kidding themselves.
So, Bruce, tell me about your book, Flip the Script, Lessons Learned on the Road to a Championship. And obviously we know LSU is in the news right now as this book comes out. I give you a moment for that as well.
Yeah, I think, look, I would make the case that no coach working in football right now at any level has had more of a crazy path to get to a championship than Ed Orgeron has. I mean, he was a guy who basically he learned under Jimmy Johnson and learned how to evaluate and coach under Jimmy Johnson at Miami, and then his own life spirals out of control. He had to confront a battle with addiction that he has now been 20 years sober. But I think he learned a lot of lessons from that battle that honestly he still has to wage. And so from him getting fired at Ole Miss after being a young head coach in the SEC, having to look inward to see the mistakes he made, that he can't blame everybody else, that he needs to see that. And then all of a sudden he works for his buddy Lane Kiffin at Tennessee and USC, and then learns from all the mistakes Lane made. And I think he's continued to grow. And, you know, I think for NFL fans, when you see Flip the Script, you'll learn a ton about Joe Burrow and how that relationship grew and why, you know, why if you're a Bengals fan, why you should be excited about Joe Burrow, because there's some really revealing stuff about him and the kind of leader and guy he is. And I think, you know, as LSU comes out of this, because basically they've lost almost their entire starting 22 to the NFL, plus Joe Brady, who is a big part of their offensive system, and Dave Aranda, their defensive coordinator. So, again, you have a guy who is very used to having to do this juggling act to rebuild, because he's had to rebuild his life and rebuild his coaching career, and now he's got to rebuild a program after having arguably the greatest season in college football history. And now they've had to, you know, kind of rebuild it in the middle of a pandemic with all these other things. So it's been interesting that the Flip the Script model is actually kind of really applicable as LSU is in 2020, getting off to a rocky start. And now they're going to play South Carolina tomorrow night without the guy, Miles Brennan, the quarterback they really have been counting on to try to replace Joe Burrow, and now they're going to start T.J. Finley tomorrow night, who is a true freshman who I don't think anybody expected to be the guy at this point, but that's, you know, that's the reality. And I think you'll see a lot for people who, you know, get a chance to look at Flip the Script. I think they'll see a lot of stuff that correlates not just on the field, but in general beyond football.
Congrats on the book, Bruce. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Hey, one nugget for you, just in case you need any other nuggets in some of your writing. Do you know there's only one Big Ten school that plays Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State? There's only one schedule. Are you aware of that? Just for a nugget for you to put in your column, or if you need it for any other articles that you're writing.
I'll file it in my back pocket.
Yeah. So you don't need to know the answer. You're just you already know it, right? You don't need to know the answer.
Would this be the Scarlet Knights?
No, not the Scarlet Knights. Not Rutgers. No. Only one school is so important enough that, yeah, let's have them play Minnesota and Wisconsin and Penn State and Michigan State and the Ohio State. That would be...
Was that head coach kind of vocal about coming back to play football?
I think so. I think he might have written a statement or two or whatever. So I'm just throwing that out there for you. Put that one.
Yes. Good luck in getting out of the gate and getting some momentum against the start of that schedule. I know.
Thank you, Bruce. That's all I'm looking for. Thank you. You take care of yourself.
Thank you, Rick.
You got it. That's Bruce Feldman. Flip the Script. Lessons learned on the road to a championship. Okay. So we've got lots to get to, as always.
Finish strong.
Do we have a Cutler Instagram? Do we have that even this week? We don't.
Oh.
Okay. Jay didn't do very much.
He was silent
on Instagram. Okay. So here's what we got. We've got Higher Register. We've got Sneaky Good Games.
Yes.
We've got the Unlockiest Lock of the Week.
Yeah. Well, the boat
and
can
the
wait.
First ever Mike Del Tufo boat name suggestions. Oh, baby. And some phone calls if we can sneak them in. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Oh, boy, I cannot wait to read out some of the Del Tufo boat suggestion names. We'll wait till the radio audience returns in a second. Higher register, order. You first, Chris.
Boom.
You second, TJ. I'll go last. I'll bring switch up the order.
Bring it home.
Sometimes you got to switch up the order, you know?
I have no bonus for this week. Huh?
I have no bonus, says Mike Del Tufo.
Got it.
That's a heads up.
I may have one based on the boat names.
Okay. Okay. Don't discount it. Don't count it out just yet.
I'm on the court.
Your sneaky good games, Chris, you got three?
I got three.
What's your record?
I am 10-7-1.
Okay, still better than a coin flip.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's not bad.
That's good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, higher register. Yeah, it's not bad. You're good at picking games.
Not bad. I'm having a good start to the year.
Okay. All right. And then I've got my unluckiest lock of the week. I'm going back to an old well for that. Hasn't worked out for me just yet. Haven't hit one of those yet this year. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, along with our streamers here on Peacock. We're thrilled to have you. Hey, so the Washington football team announcing that they're going to go Washington football team, it seems, for another season. We thought maybe you should just name your boat, your new boat that has no name, Del Tufo Marina Boat. You know, location and just what it is.
Yep.
Boat.
Name.
What type of boat is it?
Boat.
What's it called? It's a cruiser fishing boat.
Okay, it'd be Del Tufo Cruiser Fishing Boat would be the name if you go Washington football team.
Totally
right? But that's too long, right?
Too long.
You have agreed for a period of time. We'll keep it open for people tweeting at Rich Eisen Show, tweeting out Del Tufo's boat, hashtag Del Tufo's boat at Rich Eisen Show. People have already made some suggestions.
I have not looked. I've only looked at a couple, so I'm going to see a lot of these.
You ready for some of these?
I texted some of these are amazing. Night. Yeah, okay. We were talking about last night. Right.
I've looked.
Here's our friend Matt Harrington has sent a whole bunch, but my favorite one is the Fibber.
Oh, you see, that's not right.
Okay.
It's to prove them wrong.
The Codfather.
That's like a good one. Codfather.
Broken Emmy.
Broken Emmy,
that's
like.
Pretty good.
That's not bad.
I like that one.
Okay. Mary Ward sends, my husband, who's not on Twitter, asked me to send Dame the Torpedoes.
Ooh, good album by Tom Petty.
That's not bad. The Divorce Force from John in Denver.
I like that.
I like that one.
What am I, a lawyer, though?
You're so good. Steve McLaren. I'll read these.
Oh, God.
Salty Test Tackles.
That's fantastic.
Usain Boat.
Usain Boat's good.
Going Broke.
Going Broke. I like that. Because you do when you're on a boat. That's a fact.
Hold on. Where's the one that I saw? The Boat Churl. Is from
the
Zachary Young.
Fantastic.
I like that one.
Yeah, that may actually win.
Stop it. Stop it.
Mixmaster from Karen and Carolinas.
Ooh, I like that.
Mixmaster is not bad.
I like Mixmaster.
Which one did you love? Big Naughty?
Yeah, right? I like Big Naughty, but N-A-U-T-I, like nautical.
Big Naughty. I like that, too.
That was my favorite one.
I like that. Mixmaster.
And Usain Boat was pretty funny.
Yeah. Usain Boat was a good one.
And I got a little picture of him painted, running. That would actually be.
Yeah, you just have him with the arms out.
With the arms out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jersey Oars.
Ooh.
How about that one? Good one from Matt Puccio. There we go.
All right, let's keep this going, Mike.
Hashtag Del Tufo.
Right now, Mixmaster is one.
That's not bad.
I'm writing that one.
Now, would you put the Mixmaster or just Mixmaster?
SS Minnow. There you go, right up on the screen.
Oh,
there.
Gosh, look at us.
Oh, my God.
Salty Test Tackles.
Rich, did you hit Del Two Floats?
Del Two Floats was good, too.
Del Two Floats.
That sounds like a dessert at Friendly's.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the one?
There's another one.
The guy who said Two Pump Chump.
I was waiting this whole segment for that.
You should have said it.
I've just been sitting waiting for you to say that.
Oh, my God. That made me cry last night. My kids are saying, what do you think? My kids are like, Dad, what's so funny? I can't tell you.
Two Pump Chump.
Oh, my God.
Brock, when I didn't think he was going to say it, and I'm sitting there,
I didn't think he was
going to
say it.
I am so mad right now. Okay.
You're crying, Rich.
Two pump chump.
I mean, what? Can you imagine sitting around the marina with that? Oh, God. All right.
Did Cooper ask you?
I got to pull myself together.
Did they ask you the man?
Not now. I gave another dad. Not now. Best dad ever, everybody. Okay. All right. Let's go higher. I can't go first in higher register. I need to collect myself, okay?
Massage my cheeks. Right.
Let's go higher register here on the Rich Eisen Show.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen Show's.
That there could be.
Higher register. Take of the week.
All right, you go first, Chris.
Okay, guys, we've been talking about this particular college player for 3 years. We've been talking about him on this show a lot this week. I'm talking about Trevor Lawrence. He is dominating this year. 15 touchdowns, only a pick, 73%,
Where
right?
Where are you going with this?
He is minus money to win the Heisman Trophy. Now, we all assume he's going to be the number one pick in the draft, and that's great. We also all assume that the Jets are going to have the number one pick in the draft. My higher register, guys, look, I don't even think the Jets stink could make Trevor Lawrence not be great. I think Trevor Lawrence is like Jets immune to their stink. He's just so good. He's going to be great even if he's on the Jets.
Ooh, Rich likes that.
I do like it. You don't know. He could be immune. He could have that Clemson placebo.
Wow.
Placebo. Clemson placebo. Write that down.
That's nice.
Oh, my God. I'm still crying.
Two pump jumps.
Oh, my God. All right. What do you have over there?
Chris, you didn't have another one? Or is that it?
That's it.
That's it.
All right. So, Rich, we've got UFC 254 this weekend from UFC Fight Island in Abu Dhabi.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And, right, you got to lose Sam Spence for the UFC.
All right.
NFL Films Music.
We've got a great card at UFC 254 headlined by the title unification. I guess it's not really unification. We have an interim champion and a normal champion.
Okay.
Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yes.
And I can never say his name right, but who can? Khabib.
Well done.
Against Justin Gaethje. We have Russia against America.
Ooh.
And, you know, Khabib is quite possibly the most dominant fighter in the history of the UFC.
Yes,
28 sir. And 0. As you know, he grew up wrestling bears.
Mm-hmm.
It's a puzzle, a riddle that just hasn't been solved. And then we got Justin Gaethje, very violent, hits very hard.
Okay.
It's just... And, you know, higher register isn't my thing, but I kind of feel that maybe Justin Gaethje's going to be the one who's going to solve the Khabib riddle this time.
All right. How about us going UFC higher register?
Maybe. Well done. He hits really hard, and, you know, maybe the Eagle, Khabib.
Could you imagine going in an octagon or in a cage with that guy?
No, I can't.
You have to have a special set of whatever.
Gaethje has those.
Okay. Sounds
special,
good.
Special set of Gaethje.
Right. So, here's my higher register. You know how I have been telling you that I'm going to die on this sports take hill, okay?
You want some Spence?
No.
Okay, no Spence.
You know how I've been telling you that the Heat have shown you with their current roster that they can be champions. Didn't happen this year, and it doesn't matter if Giannis is available and Pat Riley should just stay put. And I've told you I'm going to stick with this, right? We had Richard Jefferson on the show just last week. I thought I would have him as an ally here in not breaking up this team for Giannis because he called Giannis a Pippen, not a Jordan. Even he said 100% the Heat should break up their team if Giannis is available. And I've told you that I'm not going to give up on this. However, I'm now going to change my tune a little bit.
Oh, really? Oh, oh, oh.
And say... Ooh. Maybe the Miami Heat should just stay put, and everything's going to just work out fine. See how it goes. Maybe the Heat are fine without Giannis, and that they could just stay with Tyler Hero and everybody else and just stay put and see how it goes.
Welcome to the dark side.
No, I'm not there yet. I'm just saying, maybe it's going to be fine the way they currently are constituted.
You put a for sale sign on that hill.
I'm not there. I'm just going higher register on.
He's a two-time MVP, Rich.
I'm officially now higher register on this subject matter.
Also, I'd like to say Nurmagomedov because I think I pronounced that incorrectly.
You forgot once. You forgot the
muck. I messed it up there, but I do know how to say
it. It's all good.
Nurmagomedov.
The fact that you brought UFC into the higher register equation just shows you that you're a five-tool player.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, Chris Brockman, let's get your sneaky good games for week number 7 here on the Rich Eisen Show. You are, what's your record here?
I'm 10-7-1.
All right, so everybody listen up.
He's back. Here's Chris Brockman with sneaky good games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
All right, what do you got over there,
All
Chris?
Right, we talked about it earlier, Rich. Lions-Falcons, it's one of your games under the radar this week. I'm going to look at the total of this game. Going over 54.5. I expect a lot of offense here. Over in 7 of the last 8 games when Detroit plays in Atlanta. Over 5 of Detroit's last 7 games against the NFC. And Atlanta over in 5 of their last 7 games. A lot of offense in Georgia on Sunday. Secondly, looking at Cowboys and the Washington football team, this game, pick 'em. And I like the home team. I like Washington. Dallas has not shown me enough. They're 0-6 against the spread in their last 6 games. Okay? Washington is finally going to get it done. They're going to win one for Riverboat Ron. Lastly, Steelers-Titans. One of the biggest games on Sunday's docket. This game's also a coin flip. Steelers plus 1. Give me the black and gold. I like Pittsburgh to go into Tennessee and win this game. No Taylor Lewan on that offensive line. I don't know what that means for Derrick Henry. Ryan Clark said some things today that I don't know if I agree with. But when it comes down to it, Pittsburgh is the better team. Their defense is going to slow the Titans down. And I like Pittsburgh to win this game.
There's nothing new. He says two pump shoves. I don't know why I find it so
funny.
We're
still laughing at two pump shoves.
I hate Rich. He's never going to stop laughing about that.
Rich is done.
I'm like the kid in the back of the classroom that can't stop laughing.
Hey, which boat is yours?
All right, let's get to Unlockiest, please. Go for it. Oh, my God.
Lock it down. Or maybe leave it wide open. Unlockiest lock of the week.
I have gone down this road before. I've come so close in Unlockiest lock of the week. The one time I have not come anywhere remotely close is when I chose this team against the Baltimore Ravens, and they got spanked. But I have a feeling, even without Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard being back there, I have a feeling that Joey Burrow is going to finally get a piece of Ohio that he didn't get the first time they faced the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns are, they took that hit from the Steelers, and I don't know, I just got this feeling that the Browns are going to lose in Cincinnati, and it's going to be DEFCON 1 all over again in Cleveland. That's my unluckiest lock of the week for week 7.
Wow.
I don't know why I feel it. I just do. Just have that feeling.
Late-breaking Saints news. Looks like Emmanuel Sanders going on the COVID-19 list.
What? No!
No Emmanuel Sanders, no Michael Thomas on Sunday.
Oh, no. Well, I hope he is well. He's got small kids at home, you know. I hope everything is fine. Obviously, wherever you are, thanks for taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I want to thank Kurt Warner for joining us and everybody calling in and giving some great suggestions for Mike Del Tufo's boat name. For those of you watching us on Peacock, stay tuned. There's a little bit more of our show. But for those of us listening on the radio here on the Rich Eisen Show, we will see you on Monday. And have a great week 7, everybody. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.